KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Partly cloudy skies. Temperature reading is at 68 degrees. And looking for a high in the 80s today. Firefighters from Atlantic and Marnie responded to a reported vehicle fire and on Interstate 80 Monday afternoon. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kennan said the accident happened around 2 o'clock on I-80 eastbound near the Marnie exit, which was mile marker number 51. No injuries were reported. The cause of the blaze is not immediately known. KJAN News Time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
The Mills County Sheriff's Department has released a report for last week. Tyler Chambers of Glenwood was arrested for driving under suspension, speeding, and failure to prove insurance. Chambers was held on a $300 bond. A Nebraska man was arrested for a violation of a no-contact order. James Schmidt of David City, Nebraska, was arrested at the Mills County Sheriff's Office, bond set at $5,500. Timothy Urban of Boise, Idaho, was arrested on a charge of public intoxication by Mills County officials and held on $300 bond. Annie Esterling of Council Bluffs was reported to the Mills County Sheriff's Department that there was a theft in the third degree on Main Street in Mineola. Mills County officials also investigated a single vehicle accident Saturday afternoon, 7 miles north of Glenwood. Robert Harris of Paducah, Kentucky, was leaving a rural driveway, turning south when he turned his semi-tractor trailer too sharp, causing the trailer to go into the ditch, causing damage to the roadway. Harris was transported to the Jenny Edmondson facility by Pacific Junction Rescue. Red Oak Police arrested Tara Ann Squibbs on a charge of fourth-degree theft. Squibbs was arrested at the Red Oak Law Enforcement Center and was held on $300 bond at the Law Enforcement Center in Red Oak. Two Council Bluffs men were killed in separate motorcycle crashes on Saturday. The Daily Nonpareil reports 66-year-old Randy Thompson died at a hospital from head injuries he suffered when his motorcycle and another motorcycle collided at the intersection of L-34 and Mahogany Road near Underwood. A little after 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, he was not wearing a helmet. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker told the paper Thompson was at the back of the single-file group of cyclists going south on L-34, approaching a sharp turn prior to Mahogany. The first two bikes were able to slow down with the intention of turning left onto Mahogany, but Thompson was reportedly going too fast around that turn, striking the lead motorcycle, reportedly carrying Mark and Gail Lieber of Council Bluffs. Gail Lieber was taken by Neola Rescue to Allegiant Creighton Health and Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs with minor injuries, according to Danker. The second crash happened late Saturday night in rural Council Bluffs. 30-year-old Stephen Thompson of Council Bluffs died at the scene on Hunt Avenue after he reportedly lost control of his motorcycle and went into the ditch. Thompson, who was not wearing a seatbelt, suffered head injuries during the crash that happened at 11:29 Saturday evening as he was traveling east on Hunt Avenue following a group of four-wheel ATV riders. While both victims share the same last name, Danker says it's not known whether the two men were related. Both crashes remain under investigation. 22 of Iowa's 99 county sheriffs are no longer complying with requests from Immigrants and Customs Enforcement to hold people suspected of being illegal immigrants unless they have a judge's approval. According to the ACLU, ICE issues what's called a detainer, which asks the counties to hold individuals for 48 hours while ICE determines if they will pursue immigration proceedings. Iowa ACLU spokesperson Erica Johnson says that the ICE detainer requests are often unconstitutional.
The ICE detainer requests in and of themselves, if they're not accompanied by any sort of warrant signed by a judge, don't necessarily give local law enforcement any reason to detain an individual.
Johnson says that it's up to local law enforcement whether they want to cooperate with ICE or not.
Really, like I said, a good showing the community is saying, hey, we want to work with you, especially those vulnerable communities, especially immigrants.
As the counties that have told the ACLU they will not comply with the detainer requests include locally Cass County, Fremont, along with Montgomery and Pottawatomie counties. The makers of a documentary about a Prohibition-era whiskey are promising new revelations about how a small Iowa town became a bootlegging empire. Dan Minot directed the film Whiskey Cookers, The Amazing Story of Templeton, Iowa Bootleggers.
The film is really going to rewrite the history of Templeton Rye. There's so many revelations. It introduces so many new characters, so many new plot lines, and so much new backstory.
Roughly a decade in the making, Minot says that the documentary draws on never-before-seen files from the National Archives, court documents, and other materials. Minot says that the secret of Templeton's Rye success went far beyond the ingredients used to make the whiskey.
In the middle 1920s, Carroll County's juries basically started engaging in civil disobedience and refused to convict bootleggers.
An advanced screening of the film will be held this Friday at the Templeton Community Center in Templeton. The film's world premiere is scheduled for Saturday at 5:45 p.m. at the Engler Theater in Iowa City as part of the Landlocked Film Festival. The film will air later this year on Iowa Public Television. Minot says that the film is not affiliated with or received no funding or editorial input from Templeton Rye Spirits. Department of Natural Resources says a manure spill in northwest Iowa dairy has likely caused the death of thousands of fish. DNR announced on Monday that the spill at Summit Dairy near Paulina apparently happened Friday during a rainstorm. On Saturday, a citizen reported seeing dead fish in Mill Creek. DNR responded and dug a trench that redirected the manure to a field. On Sunday, DNR staffers noted many dead fish, including suckers, minnows, darters, shiners, a few catfish, and a few small largemouth bass. Commission that oversees water quality regulations in the state of Iowa are considering adoption of rules that align state regulations with those imposed by the Federal Clean Water Act. Environmental Protection Commission's proposed rules primarily give the Iowa Department of Natural Resources authority to issue permits that regulate the manure handling for livestock farms shown to discharge manure into waterways. Permits are not required, however, and environmental groups said the rules are too weak and too friendly to livestock farms. Two brothers and their sister from Johnson are sharing a $1 million lottery prize. Des Moines Register says 61-year-old Stephen Bevis, along with his 59-year-old brother Craig and 55-year-old sister Marcia, claimed their prize on Monday at Iowa Lottery headquarters in Des Moines. Three netted more than $233,000 each after taxes were withheld. The Iowa Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments in special sessions at four locations across the state during its upcoming term. Des Moines-based court said Monday that justices will be traveling to hear arguments next month in Iowa City, to Storm Lake in October, to Creston in March, and Decorah in April. More than 1 million people went to the Iowa State Fair this year, but attendance was down. Fair spokesperson Lori Chappell tells the Des Moines Register that preliminary records show 1,016,000 people attended the fair during its 11-day run. Fair ended on Sunday. It's the lowest attendance since 2010, when just over 967,000 people went to the fair. About 30,000 more people went to the fair in 2013 than this year. Largest attendance in fair history was about 1.1 million in 2008. Chappell says that rainy weather on the first day of the fair probably hurt some attendance. She added that officials will study the attendance numbers to keep track of any trends. Attorney General Eric Holder is planning to travel to Ferguson, Missouri tomorrow to meet with FBI and other officials carrying out the independent federal investigation into the death of a black teen, Michael Brown, who was shot by a white police officer. Meanwhile, clashes continued last night between police and protesters. As authorities say, that small group in the crowd threw bottles and Molotov cocktails, and two people were shot. Officers fired tear gas and flash grenades. Police say that 31 people were arrested. All the people who were being screened for Ebola when they ran away from a health center during looting in Liberia have turned themselves into a hospital. Liberia's information minister says about 17 people missing have gone to a Monrovia hospital that's been treating Ebola patients. At the time they fled, they had not been tested for Ebola. During the looting, residents of the West Point slum stole bloody sheets and mattresses, which could spread the disease even further. Pakistan's military says it has killed 48 suspected militants in airstrikes in two tribal regions near Afghanistan. Military says that army helicopters attacked militant hideouts today. The Pakistan army has been fighting militants since June when it launched a major operation there to eliminate the local and foreign insurgents accused of orchestrating attacks in Pakistan-Afghan and Afghanistan. And the booming voice that introduced lineups on Saturday Night Live has died. Don Pardo died yesterday in Arizona. He was 96. Pardo was also the voice of game shows and TV programs for more than 60 years. KJAN Newstime, 8:11.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And funeral notices on this Tuesday. James C. Jackson, 97, of Redfield, died Friday, August 15th, at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for James Jackson will be held 10:30 today at the Redfield United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. LaVon Lucille Springman, 74, of Portsmouth, died Sunday, August 17th, at Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Mass of Christian burial services for LaVon Springman will be held 10:30 today at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Paul E. Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of arrangements. Brian Feek, 43, of Greenfield, died Wednesday, August 13th at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Brian Feek will be 11 o'clock today at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Dorothy Beck Reimers, 95, of Manning, died Saturday, August 16th at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Dorothy Reimers will be held Wednesday, August 20th at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home of Manning has the arrangements. Vernon Roy, 93, of Manning, died Friday, August 15th at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Mass of Christian burial service for Vernon Roy will be 10:30 Wednesday, August 20th at the Sacred Heart Church in Templeton. Odie Funeral Home of Manning has the arrangements. Merle Winther, 91, of Elkhorn, died Saturday, August 16th at Salem Lutheran Homes in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Merle Winther will be held Thursday at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton, Odie Funeral Home of Kimbleton, has the arrangements. Darlene Tagg, 82, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday, August 17th. The new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Darlene Tagg will be held Thursday, August 21st at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Patsy Gorka, 78, of Elkhorn, died Sunday, August 17th at home. Funeral services for Patsy Gorka will be held Thursday, August 21st at 2 p.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Odie Funeral Home in Elkhorn has the arrangements. Arthur Art Malloy, 76, of Sheridan, formerly of Audubon, died. No funeral services will be held for Art Malloy. Family visitation will be Thursday, August 21st from 4 until 7 p.m. Brown Funeral Home of Sheridan has the arrangements. Carmelita Blickinger, 97, of Greenfield, died Friday, August 15th at the Greenfield Manor. Mass of the Resurrection Service for Carmelita Blickinger will be 10:30 Friday, August 22nd at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Harriet Hattie R. Hoig Becker, 88, of Dillon, Montana, formerly of Atlantic, died July 13th in Dillon, Montana. Celebration of Life Services for Hattie Hoig Becker will be held Friday, August 22nd at 11 a.m. at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Alice Mendenhall, 100, of Atlantic, died Sunday, August 17th, the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Services for Alice Mendenhall currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Online condolences may be left at www.rolandfuneralservice.com. Barbara L. Vandenberg, 72, of Atlantic, died Monday, August 18th at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center in Atlantic. Services for Barbara Vandenberg are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Mark Saylor, KGN News.